Hello, everybody. Welcome back. And today it is the end of year awards podcast. For audio listeners, we're currently boogieing. And welcome back. It is the WTF1 podcast. And we are... Oh, God. This is good, isn't it?
I love
the recorder version. The only reason we're using the recorder version is because we would get copyrighted to the ground if we didn't. So
that fade out, though, Tommy.
Perfect. You like the DJ. Spotify playlist that does that thing like 5 or 6 seconds beforehand. Yeah. Like the gym workout ones. Anyway, right. So today, WTF1 podcast, we are rounding up the 2019 F1 season. And what better way than to give out some awards, eh, guys?
The awards that matter.
And the first award is Best Christmas Jumper, me. There we go. Let's move on to the second award.
I can't argue.
This actually I got on the Daniel Ricciardo Infinity shoot. They gave it to me.
Did they?
Yeah. To be fair, they didn't give it to me. I was wearing it and then I said...
And then you left.
I genuinely, I was kind of like, is this anybody's? And they said, no, we bought it for the shoot. I said, can I have it? They went, yeah. Well, I'm not going to say anymore.
Yeah,
goodbye.
You mean they didn't give you a Renault one? Because Renault have their own ones,
Danny
right?
Rick had a Renault one.
They're cool.
Right. I was an Infinity guest, so I didn't get a Renault one. But it's fine. They didn't have lights. This one had lights. So
I mean, fair.
I win. Anyway, moving on. End of season, end of year award podcast. Shall we throw our minds all the way back? Actually, before we do that, I'm Matt.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Jess.
And we're now going to throw our minds back to the very beginning of the season.
Wow.
Feels like a big throwback, doesn't it? The same year. And we're looking to Australia. We're looking to car launches.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
It's been a long year, but also a short year. It's a weird year, isn't it? It's been busy, but also we're in December. How is it Christmas? How am I wearing a Christmas jumper already? It does not feel like a year ago since I was wearing that stupid Christmas suit. Does
that? That's because you wore it yesterday.
Did I?
No, you didn't.
I'm like, was I that drunk? Right. So let's go straight into the first award of the evening. I'm kind of making it like a... Yeah, kind of like BAFTAs or something, you know. At Fakey Kovalainen says, not Kovalainen, it's spelt wrong.
Yeah.
Livery of the year for our first award.
Who's on our shortlist?
I think Ferrari has to be up there.
Yeah, it's a good one. Even though you'd think Ferrari, people say, oh, it's boring because it's just red, but they really nailed it with the kind of matte look.
Which is unusual for Ferrari. I don't think they've ever had a matte.
No,
no, I think it's the first time.
And anything with
it.
The word Matt does really well. So,
hey.
Obviously Ferrari, I think, were up there. I think Red Bull in a cheating way because of their camo livery.
Everyone lost their mind over that, didn't they?
Every year.
Everyone falls for it. Like they think, what was it going to be? But they didn't even use it for testing this time, did they?
No.
So it was just.
They used it before for testing and then he crashed and Ricciardo crashed in a wet or something at Silverstone and then they couldn't use it anymore anyway. So
it was just a hype livery.
And it does. It wins. It works every single time.
They win car reveals
every single time. I think the Renault as well. I think the Renault looked very nice.
I like the McLaren.
The McLaren
done a good job. Last year, very basic. They went back to the orange that people wanted to see, like the orange and blue. But this year, they actually had the whole geometric pattern and stuff, which looked cool.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I think livery of the year is very up for debate, isn't it? It's someone's tastes. But if you're both saying McLaren, then... That's an outvote, isn't it? It's like ABCDEF1 already. So I think that's the way we'll do it. We'll go for a majority vote because otherwise that's just not fair.
It's Christmas.
That's a dictatorship.
We can all
if
agree.
I just go, no, Haas. Which actually, first pictures, I was like, looks quite nice, but then it just looks a bit bland. And then Rich Energy left and then it was all history from there, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah.
Sad times.
Can you believe that was this year? Like, that's crazy.
That does feel like a long time ago.
I keep getting absolutely phased out by the fact I look at my laptop screen and all I can see is lights flashing back at me with the reflections. So if I just phase out at any point, I apologise. I might turn them off because I don't know how distracting they are for people watching. But
How do they turn it off?
I have to go inside
switch?
My body.
Oh, okay.
I have the light switch inside myself. I can't find it. Right, let's carry on. It's not inside my body, just to clarify. At Alexi_Joe14 for the second award of the evening. Zero to hero moment. So for people that maybe don't understand that, it's from just a kind of a moment that's... You almost didn't expect
to,
it.
Yeah.
You know, someone that...
Who's risen above.
Yeah, who's risen
above.
All
the hate.
The hate, the bashing. No particular...
The
Bottas. Let's move on to Valtteri Bottas. That's one of the nominations for his win in Australia, and I think that's probably quite up there in terms of very low expectations and coming out the blocks firing.
I mean, to say the year he had, he was pretty terrible. He didn't win the race, right, in 2018.
He came second 7 times.
Yeah, didn't win a race in 2018.
Stat.
And, you know, he, I mean, I missed the podcast at the start of the year when Bottas won that race. I wasn't hugely sold on the whole thing, but there was very much a hype train that Bottas 2.0, oh my God, he's taken it to Hamilton.
Yeah.
And you know, to take it to Hamilton the first race.
I just turned my lights off. Well. Sorry, carry on. I was just listening, but also trying to turn my lights off because it was actually really distracting me. I could just see it in my corner of my eye. I was like, yes, Tommy's saying something, but I can see lights. Yep. So any other Zero to Hero moments that we can think of that really kind of stood out as you know, something that kind of out of nowhere? I don't know. Charles Leclerc obviously going into Ferrari, he kind of... Was he played down, would you say, going into Ferrari? Was he too hyped?
I think he was hyped. Kind of delivered. So I don't know if you can classify him as a hero.
He's a hero to hero. Yeah.
I think you've got to say Gasly.
Gasly in Brazil,
He had such a rocky start to 2019, got demoted, got replaced by Alex, and then had his redemption moment in Brazil, getting his P2. Just in a Toro Rosso. So like, I think that for me is kind of the story of...
Yeah, it was such a...
Phoenix moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible. And you could see you could hear the emotion in his voice with that insane team radio message.
That's probably saved his... I'm not going to go as far as saving his career, but I think psychologically going into 2020, I think that has probably saved him.
Yeah,
He must have been the season from hell for him.
All
the ridicule. I mean, even like if you look at like our ABCDF1 votes for him at the start of the season, it's savagery.
Yeah. He was getting lapped, wasn't he, by Verstappen?
Yeah, he wasn't putting that Red Bull where it was meant to be, and then he's had this end to the season. I think
how on earth
really
did
nice.
He get a podium for Toro Rosso and not Red Bull? Like, it's so weird that the two Toro Rossos got a podium and not...
But we said,
other Red Bull,
we said, didn't we? Like, it's all about balance and how you feel in the car. And Gasly's always felt comfortable in the Toro Rosso.
Yeah, definitely.
And it clearly shows as well with Albon, you know, that this Red Bull is extremely what looks like shaped around Max.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like a 100%. Very difficult car to just jump into the team and be quick, because Max clearly has a very specific driving style that Red Bull have now honed into. And clearly it works very well because Max...
just for some.
Max winning a lot of races having a fantastic season, but it just shows that it's not as simple as the Red Bull's quick. All right, we'll get a quick driver and it'll work.
Yeah,
and I think that was evident for people that maybe watch and go, well, anyone could go in a Mercedes and win.
Yeah,
nah.
That's not the case at all. So,
nah.
Shall we give it to Valtteri Bottas then?
I'd also throw F1 in general into
that. That's not. Come on.
No, because of
the bad start of the season, and then. We're not going to give F1 an award for Zero to Hero moment.
Okay. Why not? I think I'm gonna.
That's a good one. God, how bad the start of the season
was. It was awful.
It was absolutely woeful.
Fine.
I think we should give ourselves an award for doing that podcast that said it was F1 is ruined and no one should watch it anymore. It's the worst thing ever. And then F1 being
amazing. They listened to us. They realised that they were going to lose their viewers.
Yeah.
I mean, can you call F1 a hero? I don't know if that's... I think a hero is for a person, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Okay, we'll go into technicality.
But I think
F1, 2019,
I don't think anyone really had any real Actually, no, that's a lie. We did have real expectations for 2019 because the grid was so different and there were so
many
Ferrari
drivers.
Were
so pre-season testing.
Ferrari were rapid.
No, sorry, no.
They were a second a lap quicker than everyone else.
They've admitted recently that they believed they were half a second quicker than the entire field.
Actually...
Yeah,
that's painful. That is
very painful.
It shows that Spain is not a representative track either at all. I know that pre-season testing as a whole is very difficult to judge anyway, but also the track, I don't think is at all representative, especially going to Australia.
Yeah,
I know pre-season testing isn't supposed to be this is where they are, but also it shouldn't be that big of a swing. So interesting. So Ferrari actually believed they were stronger, which wow, who would have seen it? So are we giving it? Bottas?
Let's give it to Bottas.
How can you give it to Bottas?
I don't think Bottas is going to win anything else tonight.
Yeah,
so,
he deserves something.
Because Zero to Hero moment.
We've also got
it doesn't matter that he went back to zero.
He went straight back to zero. He finished seventh in the power rankings.
Look, we have got another award that is best comeback story/moment later on. So maybe
Gasly
that's where
that.
Gasly can win twice.
No, well, not today he can't. Valtteri Bottas?
Yeah, go on then.
It was good.
How was it?
He came off a terrible season in 2018, hadn't won, and out the blocks in 2019, Porridge was born.
I don't think you could call it a terrible season.
And to be fair, the first four or five races, he was pretty good. He held at Hamilton because he did in Baku, didn't he, as well? Mm. And I think they were level on points, weren't they, after a few races?
Yeah.
Which, you know, you can argue Hamilton didn't turn up, but it's still impressive. A driver that good. For Bottas too.
So it was kind of a zero to hero to zero.
Zero to hero to, but.
To, oh yeah, oh yeah, you exist.
To disappearing off the F1 power rankings.
We've triggered you early.
It's good, it's fine. You disagreed with me for the first one. So anyway, Valtteri Bottas, well done. You win the second award for zero to hero moment. Next award is the biggest disappointment of the year. Now, I will full-on be on the bandwagon for this first nomination, which is Leclerc losing the race in Bahrain.
What race?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Disappointing.
Everyone knows what happened. I'm welling up.
Yeah, it was one of those horrible moments, because it was going to be his first win as well.
First pole, first win.
I was there, I was ready.
Oh, you were there,
actually welling
you?
Up. I don't, I'm not actually emotional, but I've made myself well up now. I'm in trouble.
You squeezed your... eyes
and you squeezed these your
are the
eyes,
eyes. Yeah. These are the eyes. It's been a long year, but yeah, so Leclerc obviously losing the race at Bahrain. What a race Bahrain was. It was very intense, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it feels so long ago that I watched it, but you watched the race highlights.
I watched the race highlights. It was really good. Because we had so many good races at the end, you almost forget. You feel like every race at the start of the season was terrible, but nothing I forgot in that race, that Vettel had his kind of spinning moment with Hamilton,
his
where
first
they didn't even
spin,
forget about that. But
that was turn like four, wasn't it? Something. Mm. Yeah.
But I think that the thing that was so disappointing with Leclerc was he dropped back, didn't he? And then he overtook Bottas and he overtook Vettel and he really like fought for that win. It was going to be such a good first win.
Yeah, because we kind of watched, because obviously he got his first ever pole, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he dropped back and immediately we're like, well, that's it.
It's over, yeah.
You know, he's bottled it, whatever. But he came back strong.
And,
you know, we don't see that many overtakes like we did in Bahrain. So very disappointing. Other ones, biggest disappointment was how bad China was for the 1,000th race.
They hyped
with all the hype
so much, didn't they?
I mean, I don't know why, because China's a great race. Both myself and Tommy agree.
Mm.
Jess may be on a slight different standpoint on that one. But
it's normally a good race.
Yeah, it's usually a good race, but you can't. It's not a Brazil that you can pretty much hedge your bets that it's going to be a banger.
Yeah.
China, you know, we have had races where Nico Rosberg's won by 47 laps, you know,
He
won for Mercedes for the first time. So, yeah, that was... I can't even remember what happened in China. Was it Mercedes 1-2?
Nothing. Yeah, of course it was. Yeah. Nothing happened.
Of course
happened.
It was, yeah. Because we had seven 1-2s in a row, was it? Or eight?
Five.
And then it was 6-7-8 was Mercedes win.
It was the first... kind of show of Ferrari team orders, because they ordered Leclerc to let Seb pass, didn't they? Yeah.
After he'd had that banger of a race and then gone.
Yeah.
It was that, there was a bit at the start of the season, wasn't there, where they kept trying to let him through.
Yeah.
And they didn't really, neither driver was quicker. It's just hard to overtake.
Yeah.
And, you know, a driver at the back would be going, I can go much quicker. And they would not really know what to do, and they'd keep letting him back through, and it was just a bit of a mess.
And that's where the Ferrari indecision kind of kicked in, wasn't it?
Yeah, very early in the season. It became such a meme for the rest of the year, didn't it?
Like, who are they going to prefer, like, give preferential treatment to? And they hadn't really decided, had they, which gave them a massive headache.
They didn't decide by Abu Dhabi, did they, really?
No. Not really,
they had no idea what they were going to do. Next nomination is Spain, the fifth straight Mercedes 1-2 finish. And talks of the worst season in F1 history. I think a lot of people were ready to turn off.
Yeah,
I reckon a lot of people did turn off.
We were at Williams, weren't we? We watched it together.
You watched the football.
Yeah, because we were just all on our phones.
Yeah, I had the football on my phone. And I was like, this
just
is
in Williams
terrible.
Watching Spain.
Oh, it was Liverpool. Yeah, Liverpool.
The fact that it was such a bad race, and the fact that, you know, we'd had the fifth Mercedes 1-2. We'd gone into it, and I'm sure we'd done it in the podcast predictions, gone, oh, Mercedes 1-2, it's going to be rubbish. But there's always that tiny little bit of you that goes, come on, something's going to happen.
Mm.
And then just the disappointment of it just being so, so stale and feeling like the championship's over in five races. You were
and
like,
it pretty
that's
much
it,
was,
Constructors'
wasn't it?
Championship's
Constructors.
Done.
You don't ever think Mercedes are going to fall off
no.
hardcore towards the end of the season. If anything, they come stronger at the end of the season along with Red Bull. But yeah, it just seemed as though it was all over, and it was that was what sealed the deal when it came to the championship. unfortunately, but this was a season where the championship was terrible, but the races, after a certain point, were absolutely unreal. And we will get on to that. But the biggest disappointment, it's difficult. If that was biggest heartbreak of the year, it'd be Leclerc.
But yeah, disappointing.
I mean, even France you can throw in there, surely, as one of the worst races in modern era.
Yeah.
Did anything happen in France?
No.
Apart from
a few odd overtakes. I think just, Spain was just so disappointing. The fact that, I could only hear so many times what a great achievement it was that Mercedes got a 1-2. But for a neutral fan, you're just like, oh,
yeah,
come on.
Terrible. Okay, what are we going to go for then? Others to throw in the pot? Jess, can you think of biggest disappointments? I want to throw Albon in there as a disappointment just for getting smashed into. If we're talking about Leclerc losing the race in Bahrain.
Oh, is it
Albon
like his...
Hamilton.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I thought you meant Albon in general was a disappointment. I mean,
Gasly at Red Bull was... The...
yeah.
Maybe there you go. Let's give Gasly that one.
Yeah. Give Gasly the bad award. What do we think? Come on.
If I'm looking back at how dejected I was, I'd say Mercedes fifth straight 1-2 finish, just feeling... I never thought I'd watch Formula One and just be more bothered about football results on my phone than watching a Formula One race.
Yeah.
Which is a sign of how bad it got.
Fair enough. All right. We'll go with that purely because I'm being biased, because it was the biggest disappointment of my life, Leclerc not winning in Bahrain. But let's go with Spain then. So well done, Spain, for the bad award for biggest disappointment of the year. Next up, we have at Thomas Bunink suggested the most BS steward call of the year and biggest drama award. So these are two awards. So most bullshit steward call of the year we'll go with first. One of which I imagine is a lot of fans will be wanting us to say is Sebastian Vettel in Canada.
Yeah.
Some Ferrari fans still aren't over it, as we saw in Silverstone with that fan with that flag that said Vettel won Canada.
Yeah, Vettel P1 Canada, didn't they say? Like... And how long was that after Canada? Like 3 or 4 races?
So you've got that. Yeah. You could also throw into the mix Leclerc, Verstappen, Austria, potentially. Debatable.
Yeah, I guess
it did throw up a lot of controversy.
Especially because of what happened the previous race, that it was kind of, well, if Vettel can do this, why is it suddenly changed? I can understand why Leclerc would have felt robbed by it. Not that I agreed it should have been a penalty, but...
Yeah, yeah. Any other stewards' decisions that we can think of over the course of the year?
I guess the Canada one was the biggest one, and it also kind of...
It sparked a huge debate, didn't it?
It did, and it was kind of the turning point where, as we saw in Austria, they just let them race.
Let them race. Mm. To the point, though, where they almost let them race too hard, and then they sort of...
Had to...
Reined it back a little bit. Yeah, because I think people were going a little bit too hardcore.
Now, I'm going to be devil's advocate here and say, was that the most bullshit steward call, considering what the steward process at that point was?
See, I wrote this down that people said it was, technically correct, but I think it was just so frustrating to watch, and it just...
This is not the most frustrating steward call of the year. This is the most bullshit.
I still think it's bullshit because it reminds me of... going into football. But when you have a slow-mo replay and everything looks so much worse, and they're showing this replay of Vettel that he's turned the steering wheel like this, and they're watching it 1,000,000,000 times, and you go...
Well, it was the telemetry, wasn't it, on the steering wheel that caused the stewards to call it. But I guess with your football analogy, it's like the argument right now about VAR is ruining football. Yeah. Right, because was it the Liverpool game where the goal was disallowed because he was like a millimetre offside? Yeah. And when you're playing a sport like football, you can't, as a player, look down and go, oh shit, I'm a millimetre offside, I better get back. And so it's kind of that whole like reliance on data in F1 is a problem anyway, because we've seen like teams make poor strategy calls because the data tells them one thing, but if you actually look at what's going on track and get down to the whole like human instinct side of things, then you potentially allow for better strategy calls and better racing.
Which is none
of this like bullshit of like, oh crap, he didn't turn his steering column was clearly still going into Hamilton's pathway when he got control of the car, so therefore we can tell that it's a penalty.
And it's so true. I think that's a very good point, because it's very telling that almost every driver on social media, and we're almost on Vettel's side going, you're fighting the car, you're on the grass, yeah, he probably turned, but he's like got snap oversteer and all this kind of stuff. And
I think it was 50-50 if we go back to it. I still think that
you weren't in that podcast, were you? I don't think. I think you were
away.
No,
you were away. Yeah. We had Chris Medland.
Yeah, so you never got to.
I thought it was 50-50. I thought that he knew to a certain degree where he was placing his car. I know that he wouldn't have had optimum
grip.
But
we know all the drivers do that, though, don't they? Yeah, the whole point of sport is pushing the rules and pushing the boundaries.
Oh, he pushed it.
Yeah.
And exceeded it because the stewards thought it was.
But
Let's not get into that. I'm going to get killed otherwise. But yeah, no, I thought it was very much 50-50. But yeah, I think seeing how much outrage it caused, I think it would be harsh not to give it to Sebastian Vettel. Steward Call of the Year. And then the biggest drama award, probably Sebastian Vettel in Canada as well.
It blew up, didn't it? It was huge at the time. I think people were fuming. Yeah.
It was such a I think I got up and just clapped because it was just such a ballsy middle finger up to everyone, like, screw you, I don't give a crap, I'm a four-time world champion, you're wrong, I can do what I like. And the fact that he just stormed off and almost didn't do any of the media stuff afterwards.
He didn't go on the podium, did he?
Because he ran back to the motorhome, and I think then
have to go on the podium.
Otherwise we get penalised. We've already got a penalty, don't give us another one. But then it was kind of, he came back and was like, nah, I'm going to swap this, and this is how it's meant to be. He even stopped his car. He didn't even bring his car into park for May, did he?
Oh, yeah. He stopped at the pit lane, walked down. And then when he decided to go back, that's when he switched the boards, which was...
It was hilarious.
Sassy.
It was brilliant. It made for some great TV, didn't it?
Yeah.
It really did. So definitely...
It's been memed to high heaven as well, which is always a good...
I mean, I think... Was it us that changed it to 7 or something when...
We did the Verstappen one when he got taken away at his... Mexico, it got taken away, and we did the swapping of the boards. I did see someone do P7 as well for something.
I can't remember what it was, but yeah, there's lots of memes from it. So we'll give it. Oh, Sebastian Vettel wins two awards.
Two on the bounce.
Very happy indeed.
He won something this year.
Savage.
He won the Singapore Grand Prix. Not through any help from. Well, actually, through a lot of help from Ferrari. Right, next award, not most salty award, me.
Anytime Charles didn't win, it's salt.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Right, next one is from @SamOgara4. Moment that made you rethink your choice as an F1 fan.
Now that was Canada was there, but
because of the decision. But I think French Grand Prix.
I think for a lot of people, that was it. I mean, it sparked off an entire hour's debate on everything that's broken with F1 from us. Yeah. So
It was breaking point, wasn't it?
It was. It was like, okay, we can handle Canada, but this is just next level now. Like, this can't continue.
Our podcast title was, what was it?
How do we fix F1?
And then make a podcast, and that's it.
And then I think it was the longest podcast we'd ever done as well.
Yeah, most boring, because everyone started commenting on how these podcasts, they get longer the worse the, boring, the race was.
We did like 55-minute podcasts, and then when we got to France, it was an hour 15.
You're welcome,
okay,
everyone.
So let's definitely give that to the French Grand Prix then.
It was awful. They should feel terrible.
Wow, savage. Right, next one. The worst WTF1 prediction of the year. So after France, we did an entire podcast, which we just mentioned, about how F1 is dead and things need to change immediately. And then the rest of the season was epic. So we've kind of planned out this whole layout. We're like, yeah, maybe we do this, maybe we do that. And then it just happened, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, but listened to us.
But we did actually say about strategy, didn't we, in that podcast? And we said we need more variance in strategy. And we did have that. So.
Yeah.
We said that the stewards need to
calm down,
let go a little bit, and they did.
Watch IndyCar, and they did. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're all welcome.
We've got that. Can we think of any predictions we made in our WTF1 predictions? I think Jess made a terrible one for Brazil. I think it was very recently. I think you said something like Hamilton would be so off the pace, or wouldn't be on the podium. You said, and then he won convincingly.
Yes.
In Abu Dhabi. It was Abu Dhabi. You said Hamilton would be off the podium.
It was. Yeah. I mean, to be honest.
And Hamilton was off the podium. Or was it that you said Hamilton would win and Hamilton was off the podium? I can't remember.
I think Abu Dhabi, I said that Hamilton wouldn't be on the podium.
Yeah.
Or wouldn't win. But I think that's not a poor prediction, because ordinarily he doesn't win.
That's very true.
So it was.
He only won by 40 seconds.
Yeah, I know. But he doesn't usually, does he? No. Usually he's like,
he's given up by then.
I'm on my holidays now.
Yeah.
See ya.
But I don't think we made any savagely terrible predictions.
No.
Purely because as the season went along, we then just decided to try and get points. So it kind of went
predictions. We'll go into that later.
Yeah, we will. We'll go into the final standings.
I did make a what one that I can remember from myself was I said Vettel was going to win in Monza, and then he had probably the worst race of his entire career.
Okay, well, that's going to have to go to you then.
There you go, Tommy. Well done.
You won the worst WTF prediction.
I just wanted an award.
Well done. Yeah, that's not the good award. It's going to be a wooden spoon for you.
I want one.
See, look, you're trying to get points already. Next award at Hamza_Banu says biggest robbery of the season. So we've got a nomination for Charles Leclerc not winning FIA Action of the Year award with Max Verstappen for the Silverstone battle.
Yeah, that wasn't cool, I don't think, from F1.
What did win the
So basically, the epic battle between Verstappen and Charles Leclerc, where they're fighting positions and they swap a few times,
yeah.
They were like, Max Verstappen wins that award, even though it's clearly a battle between the two of them.
Oh.
Is it whoever wins that battle, though, is...
Well, he didn't really, because they passed top and repassed each other, and I feel like it's not really an overtake.
It's a joint award.
It should be a joint award. I feel like he was a bit robbed there for that.
So you think, okay, fair enough.
A lot of people were like, sorry, how does Max win that award when it's clearly a battle between two people?
And Leclerc and Verstappen obviously had a lot of battles in Austria, Silverstone. Abu Dhabi, I think, was hyped up. It was a very simple battle. There was just an overtake at the start and an overtake
I think it was just because it was the only action of the entire Grand Prix. Leclerc and Verstappen,
oh my God, unreal move. But yeah, there was a lot of controversy.
Sorry, that was quite...
Steady on.
Are you drinking the sea?
It just like plopped
I'll drink
down.
Out of that soon, so there's none left. Any more for biggest robbery of the season then? We got any other?
Yeah. The fans.
Oh,
dun, dun, dun. The fans.
After the last podcast when we did would split screen work, there was a great video of the two commentators,
Davide Valsecchi,
Alex Jacks and Valsecchi
doing amazing commentary over the final lap of the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, where you could see Lando and Perez's move, Carlos Sainz's move,
and Hamilton crossing the line.
Yeah, and If we'd have got to have seen that.
And it's a good combination, wasn't it? It was good commentary. It showed that it is possible to do that with that sort of equipment. Will it work on the main feed? I don't know. But it shows that at least for that particular moment, it works. They can dive into it. They can dive out of it. That's something that they would have to kind of look at the timings and go, okay, there's three battles. Let's try it.
I think people would have, at the end of that race, gone, well, what an end to the season that was, rather than going, oh, Abu Dhabi was terrible.
Yeah,
changes your whole perspective of the race, really.
I'm going to throw another one in there, another nomination. Carlos Sainz.
He was robbed in broad daylight, wasn't he?
He was robbed of...
I mean, we didn't see it, but he was
exactly,
robbed.
Exactly the point. He was robbed of any TV time whatsoever.
The irony that we almost forgot him as well.
I know.
Poor guy. Yeah.
And also, his podium. He was robbed of his podium... Well, he got the third place trophy, but he didn't get to celebrate it on the podium.
What did that man do in a previous life to
clearly?
I know
to get to his dream of F1, but no one can see him doing anything. So.
Yeah.
Okay, let's give it to Carlos Sainz then. Sorry, the fans, but we're going to give it to Carlos Sainz for the biggest robbery of the season. Now we get on to the best race of the year. Do, do, do.
Germany.
So, what do we think? Germany.
Yeah.
Brazil is also a contender.
I'm going to throw an honourable mention in.
An honourable mention?
Honourable mention.
What's that?
Yeah.
Silverstone.
Why would you say Silverstone, Jess?
Because Germany was great, but there were like... I genuinely think it was only good because of how wet it was, rather than it being a good
race.
That's
what
she said. Jesus Christ. You had your innuendo last week, and now you're just like...
I thought I would.
It's take the it's limelight Christmas.
Off
me.
Yeah, come on. It's bad
take though. The limelight off you. You're taking it straight on you. Well, I mean, oh God.
What? It's fine. We
can't say anything on this podcast now without it being rude. Right.
Just
anyway,
stop talking about Grosjean's
Germany
penis,
was wet.
Sorry,
but I think like a race like Brazil and Silverstone, they were awesome because it was just about pure driving and on track action, rather than can anybody keep their car on the circuit and not slip off on the drag strip. But I think probably in terms, if we're just going to do pure entertainment factor, then probably Germany.
Yeah, I think I wrote notes for every single race, and every single race has about three or four. Germany is just a big
old paragraph.
List.
Yeah, I see a lot of comments that go either Germany or Brazil. Just purely because Brazil, I guess, is fresher in the mind. Yeah.
And
well,
I guess it was the it's got the most unexpected results flown in for good measure. So yeah. Not only was it like, and I guess Germany does too, because there was a Toro Rosso on. Yeah, basically, Rosso, we just need Toro Rosso up on the podium for it to be a good race.
Yeah, something's definitely happened if the Toro Rosso is on the podium, isn't it, really? So,
which is usually Baku that kind of gives us that.
Yeah. Yeah, but Baku didn't really perform this year, and Brazil and other random places we'd never even think.
Yeah, yeah,
did really well. So
good job, Germany's on the calendar next year, isn't it?
I knew that.
Yeah, you didn't know that, did you, Tommy?
No, I'm not in 2020 mode yet.
Not yet. As soon as Christmas coming.
Yeah, exactly.
But Germany, obviously, we had the drag strip runoff, the ice rink, the danger zone where we had Leclerc going off, Hamilton, Hülkenberg. You had the Mercedes pit stop fail after Hamilton going off as well, you know, where they took about an hour to find a front wing. And they were all running around like, you know, that SpongeBob meme where they're all just running around with papers.
Made even funnier that they were in fancy dress as well.
Yeah.
And they had the Netflix guys following them around their home Grand Prix.
It's going to be lit.
And Lewis was ill and they had all this stuff. And then Toto lost his absolute shit because he was like, "Why we can't blooming do fancy dress if we can't even keep two cars on the flipping track and all this." Yeah. It was just, I take it back. Germany was freaking awesome.
And I think when we see Drive to Survive, we'll probably go, Germany was even better.
I watched it back and I was like, this is incredible. All the time just going, it was like the kind of Brazil chaos at the end, but there was that bit in the middle of the race where it was all just kicking off.
Yeah.
Because I think Leclerc just crashed and then there's that video of him walking back and then Hamilton's
sliding off.
And then there's the pit stop and it's mad.
What were you going to say, Jess?
I was going to say, I'll kind of skip him back to Drive to Survive. I wonder how much though Mercedes have kind of gone, don't include this, don't include this. Because they refilmed
Germany,
them, didn't they?
Nothing. Next.
Coverage of Germany whatsoever.
Anyway,
let's give it to Germany. Best race of the year. Well done, Germany. Shame you're not going to be on the calendar. I actually really like Hockenheim. I think it's a really good track.
Germany's had kind of a very up and down relationship with F1, hasn't it? Like, because it's had where we weren't at Hockenheim, we were at Nürburgring, or it's been kind of one of those ones that's flip-flopped in and out, but it does have that. You do feel like it's a place that should have a Grand Prix. Yeah. And Hockenheim, I agree, is like a great venue, a good
track.
We've
gone from European Grand Prix and German Grand Prix to neither of them.
None.
Yeah.
Mad, isn't it? Absolutely mad.
Luxembourg Grand Prix as well in
1997. But Vietnam. Let's go to Vietnam.
Yeah, third race of the season. I definitely knew that before recording. next award is from @RosieMayBurton. Most emotional moment. Although I think we can all agree it was Spa. Obviously, Spa was one of those heart-wrenching moments, wasn't it, where we all just kind of took a step back and realised just the dangers these drivers take in motorsport. And, you know, not only did we lose Antoine Hubert in Spa, we also lost Charlie Whiting in Australia, which put shockwaves through the F1 paddock. Mm. And also for people at home, you know, he was such a lovable man. And all the tributes, it was just so amazing to watch, wasn't it? And I don't think people really understood until they saw the amount that he did and what was shown in the tributes.
Yeah, he did, like, he did 10 everything. People's jobs, didn't he, pretty much?
And in such an amazing way as well. Mm.
It was really nice that if you watch Sports Personality of the Year, it was good to see that. Because also we lost Niki Lauda.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we've had quite we've lost a lot of people, more people than we would have hoped to have lost in a year. But also just like very pivotal people. That I think it's quite it's as you said, Matt, sent shockwaves. I think each one sent shockwaves through, even though maybe
for different reasons. I think as well.
You know, Niki hadn't been well for a long time, and he'd had like a lung transplant and all this stuff. It was still very much like he's actually gone.
You still think of them as invincible, like, don't you?
Absolutely.
In some regard.
Mm. And Charlie Whiting was still fairly young. Like he wasn't that old.
Was in the 60s, was he?
Yeah. So, you know, you don't expect people to just kind of like, and especially because he was in Australia, like ready to go. And then come Thursday, it was just,
very,
he's no
very
longer
sad.
With us. And then obviously Antoine, like far, far too early to lose a racer like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had quite a few emotional moments. I think looking more towards the racing side of things as well, because it's very difficult to narrow that down, because they're all absolutely, you know, heartbreaking things to even look at in terms of an award. But racing side of things, you have to give a shout out to Albon, who was running in P2 Brazil.
Oh, his radio.
So sad.
Oh, that was sad.
His team radio was really sad. And then in terms of a race itself, Italy and Ferrari's triumph, that's a different kind of emotion.
Yeah,
but still emotional.
Happy emotional moment.
And it was nice that Charles got to...
And Charles winning.
Yeah, well, he got that win as well.
Shock.
After, you know, he won at Spa, he'd finally got that win, but unfortunately it was in obviously quite tragic circumstances.
Yeah.
That it was overshadowed by the Hubert incident and the fact that he, you know, got to celebrate that victory in Monza, and what a place to do it.
Mm.
First
Forever
time, etched in Ferrari history.
Your first year in a Ferrari and you win at Monza, it's pretty mega.
I think we've said before that Charles's life and career kind of does play out like a fairy tale in the tragic, but also kind of everything that he does, everything he achieves seems to be absolutely incredible and unbelievable because he's so young, and but it also comes at a really high cost and it's very fairy tale like, which also makes it really emotional.
Yeah,
I'm getting a bit emotional. I'm turning into like not a fanboy, just passionate.
his career, I think his career so far, and he's still so young, has been such a emotional roller coaster, and it's only going to get, you know, what he can achieve. Yeah,
with him and Verstappen fighting for that crown.
Hell yeah!
So, what are we going to give it to? Should we let's have a positive note. Should we go for Italy, just purely for the Ferrari success?
Because
we haven't really championed much of Ferrari's success. It's usually been tripping over their own feet. So
fair.
Well done to Charles Leclerc winning the Italian Grand Prix. Next up, at Alex AJL 1999, best WTF1 prediction of the year. Has to be Tommy, doesn't it?
I think you'll find that my prediction.
Your prediction.
Has to be Tommy that's going to mention that it was Jess. take us through it. What was that one?
Should we share? Let's share.
I think,
Should we share the award?
I think it's
you better turn your phone off
vibrate.
That's
was that
unique.
Mine?
Yeah.
Sorry. It was a two-part prediction of you sort of set me up, and then I had the we talked about the slipstreaming drama. So you mentioned that there'd be slipstreaming drama, and then I mentioned about this old random touring car race from 2013 where everyone slowed down so much trying to get a slipstream of each other that they all missed the line and didn't get a qualifying lap in.
And then
it actually happened in F1. It was pretty amazing watching back.
Absolutely ridiculous. And
such a weird situation.
Yeah, it was. I think there was another one. I'm going to put one of my own predictions through.
Self-nomination.
I say that. I can't actually remember the specific one.
Is it your cop-out prediction?
I had a really good run of predictions.
Yeah.
One of them was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Ferrari pole.
You're like, oh, there'll be an F1 race this weekend.
Excuse me.
Oh, no, you did. There was a... Was it a Q1? Like, you said someone would be in Q1.
Yes, you did. Stroll? No, Stroll wouldn't... Oh, there was a really banging one. There was an absolute banging one, wasn't there?
Which one was it?
I think it was Canada or something. I feel like it was Canada.
Oh, no, wasn't it Gasly without qualifying Verstappen? And then it did because
Verstappen had a failure. It was that.
Was that the banger?
That.
I don't know if that was the banger. There was a banger. Anyway, me.
Clearly, we should have done it.
Myself.
Matty, you should have researched ahead of the podcast.
It's the problem, just delete everything from this podcast sheet.
In the same race at Monza, I said that Renault would beat... Daniel Ric would beat both Red Bulls, which happened. That was quite good.
No, we're giving it to Jess. So well done. Well done, Jess, for the slipstream drama in qualifying. Unreal.
Cheers.
Next one is Mon Vermental. Best comeback story or moment?
Now, is that like, that's just the Zero to Hero again, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That sounds like a bit of like a Zero to Hero moment to me. So let's bypass that. Sorry.
Well done, Tommy.
What?
Monumental.
The same award again. Unbelievable.
Why not? Then Gasly can get it.
Okay, so that is an award that doesn't exist anymore. Goodbye.
You just get a shout out.
Next up, at JoeyG5415, worst graphic on TV during any race this year. It has to be the tyre graphics.
I have a contender.
Go.
The F1 graphic that said Claire Williams was George Russell's girlfriend. I didn't see that.
When was that?
I forget which race it was, but the graphic came up saying Claire Williams, George Russell's girlfriend.
No.
Legit.
Well, if that's
that must
true,
check.
I mean, scandal.
That is hilarious. is it worse than a tire graphic?
Yeah. The tire graphic is pretty bad.
Maybe, yeah. I guess it depends on, like, because that was clearly a mistake, we hope. But the tire graphics, unfortunately, they are a mistake.
Ongoing mistake.
But they're intentional. It's an intentional mistake.
I will never get over those tire graphics.
They're so bad. They literally just roll the dice.
Things I've ever seen. I still don't know to this day how they work out, because I know they're doing it on lap time delta and stuff like that and what they should be doing, etc. But how do they go and say that Lewis's front left is 80% and then his rear right is 50? what are they measuring?
I'm waiting for the day where they just put different percentages on each of the tyres, like
three,
because it's an anti-clockwise
10.
Circuit that must mean
that
his...
and that's why it would make sense if it was 60-60 and then 80-80 on the right and whatever, but it just it doesn't make any sense. Lewis is really accelerating hard off the left rear.
Or if, like, you know,
how did he do that?
And
someone locked up, and then but the tire that they locked up is still 80%.
That's absolutely fine.
Charles Leclerc in Brazil, when his tire's falling off, and it's like 90%. His tire is off the rim. But okay.
Again, I want to slightly jump to the defense. I think it's a good idea. Poorly executed.
No, I know. Good idea if it was actual telemetry, but it's not.
Yeah.
So get in the bin.
Agreed. Okay. So is that one going to win?
AWS tyre predictions, which are wrong.
Congrats, AWS.
Yeah, well done, AWS, for winning the worst award for graphics on TV. Okay, races. Next one. Races.
This is not a tie. This is not an award. This is just an excuse to talk about Hamilton in America, because no one's.
I think it should be an award. Races that were so good that you almost forgot about the title.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Don't put it in bold if it's not an award, okay. Tommy. Come on. An award for the race that was so good that you almost forgot about the title. Which race?
Austria?
Yeah, I mean, Austria. That's...
I was quite happy with Austria, because it was that one where we'd been on a run of such terrible, terrible, terrible races.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, you've got this battle between Leclerc and Verstappen for victory, which we've been waiting for all season. I think that's a good shout.
Austria was very good, apart from the last couple of laps. Forget about that.
What happened?
In Austria?
Yeah, what happened again? I can't remember.
Oh, let me guess.
You just want him to say it out loud, don't you?
Yeah, because you're a Verstappen fan. Oh. I hate you. I mean, yeah, obviously you have the sort of... Why did you paste all of that, all of your notes in there?
Yeah, I just realised that.
I was wondering why there was three pages of you just... of, like, little reviews of every single race.
Yeah, I'd pasted my notes and then tried to paste something else, and it was just all my notes. I was like,
"I appreciate it. Thank you so much."
You can go through all my notes next if you want.
Please, I'd love to. Okay, Austria, that's a good shout. What would you say, Jess? I know we've got Brazil and Germany.
I feel like we're just going to repeat ourselves, because, like, I think the best races of the season are going to be the ones where you're like, "I don't actually care." I think last half of the season for me was almost like, I wish we'd have just reset and just gone again, because it would have been a really, really close battle.
Yeah. Really enjoyable.
And it just ended up being, what could have been?
Yeah, Hamilton wins the title in America, which is just.
But I guess, from the way the season started to how we thought, we thought he was going to absolutely run away with it. But, I mean, he's won the title in the US before. So it wasn't as cataclysmic, maybe, as we thought it was going to be. He only won, how many races did he win? He didn't even win as many races as he ordinarily does.
Oh, I don't know about that. He won a lot, didn't he?
I think he won 11, didn't
he? It was poles that he did.
Yeah,
he won 11, but poles, he only got 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah, Charles had the most in 6 or 7,
I think.
Yeah, unreal. So let's go on to @_F1Fanatic. Most invalid driver of the day award, mostly read as Max Verstappen. There was a lot of Max Verstappen driver of the day. I think 7 in total, wasn't there?
That's crazy.
It's got to be Hülkenberg and Abu Dhabi. I mean, where did that go? I know. The internet did this.
We're so proud of
ourselves. Let's give him the biggest pity vote ever.
When
for
did Robert Kubica
job.
Get one? Or was that last season? Do you remember when everyone voted and Robert Kubica was driving? Oh no, that was
Kubica
a glitch.
Wasn't driving last season.
That's a good point, Matty. Well made. I was just testing you.
Is that water in that cup?
It is Christmas.
I wish it
was more than that. It's actually empty.
Do you want some of Tommy's? Yeah. I have it as well.
Yeah,
so.
Share the love. No, Kubica got, or was that when it was a glitch?
Kubica.
Do you remember there was Robert Kubica one driver of the day, and it was a glitch. It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I think he got the most votes just from like spam bots and crazy like voting, and then they were like, we can't give him this because he was last, and it would make a whole mockery. Because Harry Anto, do you remember he won it in his first race? Because just Indonesian fans were just like, yeah.
Harry Anto has the most Twitter followers of like more Twitter followers than most of the current F1 grid.
Yeah, he's got an insane fan base. He had to leave motorsport for a bit to work for his mum, and that's genuinely true. I'm sure that's true.
He has a million Twitter followers.
Rio Harry Anto. Yeah, 1 million followers.
1 million followers.
I'm sure Harry Anto left F1. Left F1, but he...
He had to go work for his mum.
He went to work for his mum for a bit. Yeah.
Wasn't he an Indy? Did he do a stint in Indy?
No, I don't think so. Harry Anto.
Well, no, because in his... I love it. In his bio, he's still got Indonesian F1 driver 2016 with Manor Racing.
Oh, Manor.
Bless him. Actually, I saw... It's weird, actually. I only saw the other day Charles Peak, his Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And
Charles
he doesn't
Peak.
Post at all on Instagram, really. I think like five posts down, he's posting 2017, but it's just a picture of him in the cage room. And then he posted, I think, 2 months ago, and it's him in the cage room. bless him.
Wow, that is seriously going through the archive, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Have you ever seen such a fall from grace? So even though he obviously didn't do that well in Formula 1, I'm looking at his stats, so like he did.
Harry Anto.
Yeah, GP3, GP2, F1, and then he finished the year, 3 years, didn't do anything for 3 years, so this must have been when he was working for his mum. 3 years after his Formula One career, he finished 31st in the Blancpain GT World Challenge Asia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, back to the actual award, which was Harry the most Anto invalid driver of the day.
It's got to be Hülkenberg
and Abu Dhabi. Yeah. What a ridiculous pity vote that was. Very strange.
F1 Twitterverse, but...
Yeah, I know the meaning and the thought behind it was really nice, but
we didn't like it.
It's just
it's just hijacking something that's meant to
actually display someone's drive. And then Hülkenberg, well done, you lost three positions in the last
and
five laps
behind your teammate,
and never got a podium, and never got even close to being like hit. At least you won something.
Yeah, driver of the day trophy that doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Okay, now we move on. That's all the awards.
Wow.
Okay.
We're done. Why have we not got Driver of the Season as an award?
Well, I guess we're going to touch on that in ABCD. We'll have you got the jingle?
I have. What? Ready?
Have you got the jingle? Now it's time for ABCD. For the last time. This death.
Emotional.
That makes me sad.
That should win the most emotional moment of the year award. No more ABCDEF1 jingle for this decade.
That's mad. We've been through a lot. Right. Let's go through the final standings of the ABCDEF1. And we have a fantastic table. The best table I think I have ever seen from the legend that is at TuneFix. And my goodness me.
The detail.
We have an aggregate standing table. We have an average standing table. We have an Olympic standing table. I had to look up what the difference is between aggregate and average.
Well,
and
he's given a description at the bottom.
That's beautiful.
He does have a lot of words at the bottom as well, doesn't he? That's, ridiculous.
What a legend this guy is.
So shout out to TuneFix. So how do we want to go through this? Let's go. So on aggregate, the standings, these are the basic. The only problem with this is that we were giving yous when we didn't mean ungradable sometimes, didn't we?
He has counted that
as Cs, wasn't
as
it?
As NA, yeah. Or
as a C, I think.
So yeah, NA... The NA
doesn't go into the average.
Don't go into the average.
Maths. Right, so...
This is how much attention he's been paying to these podcasts.
So good.
Which is just like, that's crazy to think.
Shout out. Well done. Honestly, amazing.
Also, you saved us a job. So
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, you really did. So on aggregate, Lewis Hamilton came out on top from all of our votes, very closely followed by Max Verstappen. On 93 points compared to Max Verstappen's 90, which he's then translated as the grades being numbers. And my God, I'm not going to go into any more detail than that. But all we know is that Lewis Hamilton on aggregate won, but not on average. Max Verstappen came out on top on the average with a 4.7 or B.7, as he's put there.
Yeah.
Which is like
almost an A, I believe that is.
Is that? High B.
So B.
I feel like I'm back at school now.
So,
B plus.
So B10 would be an A. Yeah. So B9 is the highest you can get with almost an A. So they've done a good B.
But Max and Lewis have the same points according to this.
Oh, on average, they do.
They do. Yeah, because if you look at the Olympic table, Lewis and Max both got 2 A stars, 11 A's, 5 B's, and then Hamilton got 1 extra C.
So does that mean that
Is that when we gave an ungradable to Max?
Yes, we did, in Belgium when he retired.
But then we gave Lewis an ungradable.
In Germany?
We did.
And Max had an NA in Japan. Did he have a failure? Oh, he got taken out by Leclerc.
That's
the
it.
First
so
corner.
Max has come out on top, apparently. I'm not gonna argue with Tune Fix.
No, I know.
What
how
a
dare
absolutely
how
done.
How dare he do all this work and then we go, well, actually, I think you find you've miscalculated that.
And I can go back through all of this again. And yeah, madness. But so on the Olympic table, Sergio Perez wins.
That's insane.
With
isn't
3
it?
A stars, 4 A's, 4 B's, 8 C's, 1 D, no E's, and 1 F. So he only just pips Charles Leclerc, who had 3 A stars, 4 A's, so exactly the same, but had 1 less B.
Yeah, we were very kind to Perez at the end. I'm just looking at that. We gave him an A star in Mexico, an A star in USA, and an A star in Abu Dhabi.
He came through in the last four races of the season.
The last
to
four
win
races.
The Olympic table.
Yeah.
He had no A stars before Japan.
Wow.
Before Mexico, sorry. That is ridiculous. But he did drive extremely well and pretty
he
sure he
some banging performances.
Best of the rest in all three of those races, didn't
Perhaps
he?
Perhaps so. No surprise. Who's last on the aggregate table and the average?
Aggregate, Romain Grosjean.
Yeah.
Average, Romain Grosjean. On the Olympic, Robert Kubica with Romain Grosjean 19th.
Romain Grosjean didn't have a great season.
Romain Grosjean had 4 B's. He had no A's, no A stars. He had 5 D's, 7 C's, 1 E and 3 F's.
Yeah. The only three drivers not to get even a single A grade were Giovinazzi, Grosjean and Kubica.
I really like looking back on this.
It's a good
reflection of all the crap we've chatted for 21 races.
But it's good because I think, you know, this ABCDEF1, right, is not, we're not saying
not
that
gospel,
what
it?
We're saying is gospel. It's more about us just having a chance to reflect on each driver's race. But it's actually what I've liked to see here is that on aggregate, we're actually pretty much in line with the F1 power rankings.
Yeah,
so...
not to say that we're at the table or anything, but we absolutely are, aren't we?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I think, you know, we're just having a bit of fun with this, aren't we? Like, it is just a bit of a, like...
It's very much off the cuff. What did you think of this person's race?
Well, I'll be honest.
C.
Yeah. When I saw that the top three were Verstappen, Hamilton and Sainz, I was like, thank God, because I was worried it would be like Albon, Bottas and Kubica or something.
It was never
going to
be Bottas.
Wow, we have done
it.
I was going to make sure of that. Yeah. Where did Bottas come, actually?
He was 10th on average.
9th on aggregate, 10th on average, and in the Olympic table, he was 6th. He had 2 A stars this season, Bottas.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing Australia was one of them.
We only gave him an A in Australia.
Where did he get
A star in Azerbaijan and an A star in America.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, there you go.
Imagine.
We gave him an award for Australia. We are really
so consistent
here at WTF1. What I did find quite strange, not strange, because we just gave him Bs every single time, was George Russell, 4th in both aggregate and average, but finished 11th on the Olympic because he came home with 4 A's, 11 B's, 6 C's, and did not score anything below a C the entire season.
I do think, though, that is because, I mean... funny because Robert Kubica is at the bottom pretty much of everything else and George is up there, but I guess that's because we give George a couple of higher scores. We just kind of like stopped scoring the Williams after a while.
Did he beat
while.
Kubica? Yeah. B.
Yeah.
Robert Kubica, C.
Yeah.
Like they brought the cars home at least. They did DNF.
A. Yeah. That's
basically it. But
Sebastian Vettel, 14th on aggregate for us, 12th on average. And Sebastian Vettel came home, oh my God, where on earth
13th.
Is he? 13th in the Olympic table. We only gave him 4 A's across the entire season.
That's crazy.
Is that savage? I think we've been a bit too savage on
him. I don't know.
No, because again,
been fairly,
if you look
really
at the power ranking, did you watch the power rankings graphic that F1 did?
He was never in
the top 10.
Oh,
he popped up and then leaves again.
Yeah.
I'm
not even in the top 10.
I'm not saying we're at the table. But it matches up, doesn't it?
Yeah. We've done a good job here. I'm liking this.
You've patted ourselves on the back for this.
Do we get an award for the best ABCDEF1 out there?
Yeah, I think we should.
I think so. Any other interesting ones? Let's have a think.
Who's the highest scoring rookie? Russell on aggregate.
George Russell's absolutely smashed it.
And on average. I think
the biggest...
And in the limb. No, Carlos... No, why was I about to say Carlos Sainz?
And he is in Olympic as well.
Lando was just underneath it. Where did Lando come in our rankings? Lando came 6th on aggregate, 5th on average, and then a little bit further down in the Olympic.
12th.
I think the biggest surprise was the fact that Charles Leclerc was... He was doing really well on the Olympic table, but in terms of the average, he was let down massively. We were, I'd say, fairly critical. Mm. When he crashed in Azerbaijan, crashed in Monaco, and he had that little hiccup spell where we gave him a D and an E, and that kind of dropped his average right down.
One of my predictions was bang, and I said he was going to crash in Monaco.
Yes, you did. Yeah, there you go.
That was a banger. Yeah,
but we've already chosen it.
There's no take backsies.
But yeah, you can see with the two Ferrari drivers, Sebastian Vettel in the first sort of six races was C D B C C C. Then you've got Charles, which was where are we? I'm missing. There he is. C A star C D D E. So they didn't have the best of starts, as the results will very much show. So who else we got? Pierre Gasly is quite an interesting one. He finished 8th on the Olympic table with 1A star, 1A, 4 Bs, 7 Cs, and then 3 Ds, no Es, and 3 Fs.
Wow.
No wonder he was a little bit further down on the averages I think the aggregate.
Yeah, on the aggregate, he's 18th. Jeez. Like, we were pretty savage to his start of the season, though, weren't we?
Yeah, when I think because of how Max was performing at the start of the season. Yeah. Because we gave him A's and B's.
A fair measurement tool, isn't it?
All year, pretty much.
He went CCD, CCD, CFF, BUF.
Is this Gasly?
Yeah, Gasly. Yeah. Absolutely savage. Right, okay. Well, that was very interesting, wasn't it, to look at the ABCD EF1. Let's move on to now another amazing little thing we've been given by F1 Statser, talking about our final prediction results for the season. This is where, obviously, we have two predictions each. The fans have three. And, well, lo and behold... Who's come out on top?
Yeah, I really wish I'd just spent half the year predicting Ferrari.
Oh, pole. Shut up! That is,
or like just gearing all of my predictions around Charles Leclerc.
Yeah,
well, it's funny. When did you do that? Like 5 in a row, 6 in a row, 7 in a row? Because I think it was around Belgium, Italy, wasn't it?
Where
you've got a point every single time.
Yeah, Germany. So that the overall results, Tommy scored 14, Jess scored 14, and I scored 15.5, and Dan scored 2 for the 2 podcasts, I think. Oh, no, 3 podcasts he was in. 4 podcasts he was in.
4 podcasts he was in, yeah.
Can I just say, so Tommy and I were equal on points, but you got more
I missed
wins.
The first 3 podcasts, so I... And my average as well was better.
You missed the first 3 podcasts. You did very well indeed, didn't you?
Well, no, because we still asked for predictions for you.
No, you didn't.
We used predictions for you.
We definitely
did. We definitely asked for your predictions.
Maybe for the first one we did.
It says NA here.
Well.
I'm trusting
F1's. Okay, I mean, the table, to
I'm
be fair,
pretty
it says
sure
NA for all of
holiday.
Us. It says NA for all of us on Australia.
Yeah, because we didn't predict.
Yeah, because we didn't get points.
The first race of the season, Matt. Okay, fair enough. Oh, to be fair, my average is still higher than yours, Tommy, so suck it.
Yeah, shout out to the fans as well, we should mention.
Well, the fans got 3.
They get 3
predictions each. Their average actually is still very high. Well done, fans. You got 20.5, and overall us as a WTF1 team had 45.5. But we had a lot more predictions.
I'm surprised how close we were.
The best race we had was Brazil. We got 5.5. Do you remember that? That was good fun.
Brazil?
5.5 points out of 6.
We smashed that.
And then very closely followed by Austria, where I think I had a few bangers. You had a few bangers and Jess had 1 banger. I can't remember what the banger is that you didn't get right. Probably Hamilton winning or something. I don't know. Anyway, so I had 10 wins. Tommy had 9. Jess had 6. And Dan had 1. Dan had a win. Lovely jubbly. Speaking of predictions, let's do one crazy prediction each for next year. Off the cuff. None of us have prepared. I can see that. It's all empty at the bottom, which is the beauty of it. So that's why I'm going to throw to Jess first, because she's hyperventilating. one crazy prediction for next year.
It will be the closest season of the hybrid era.
Well, that's not going to happen now, is it? Wow.
wishful thinking.
That really is.
Also very vague, because...
Closest.
The closest in
between
terms of...
Between fourth and fifth.
The grids have been moved closer.
Yeah.
Go on, Tommy. Your one. You've prepared. You're going to protect...
Hamilton will be signed by Ferrari. Announced at Ferrari.
For 2021?
For 2021, yeah.
That's a banger, that is.
There you go.
We will never see a tyre graphic again.
that's just wishful thinking. Wishful. That's like mine. You can't say that mine was wishful thinking and then come out with that.
The Ferrari one's good, to be fair. No,
mine's wishful thinking as well. I'd love to see Hamilton at Ferrari. Probably about, the only person.
What about have Toto Wolff will be announced at Ferrari for 2021? Okay, or Toto will be announced moving to F1 for 2021.
Now, okay, I'm going to say this. Red Bull will be title challengers next year.
Oh, please.
That would be good.
And by Red Bull, you mean Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Have you seen...
Savage.
Wow, have
Leave
you seen...
Albon alone.
I like Albon.
Yeah, oh, hello, Albon. Nice to see you at the Autosport Awards. No, then you're just shafting him in the podcast.
Well, I'm just being honest because...
okay, what were you going to say, sorry?
The odds. I saw like a few like betting odds for next season, and Albon, they were savage on Albon. It was just like... He was like 1,000 to 1, and then Verstappen was like 6 to 1.
Wow.
I was like,
time to put some bets on Albon.
Serious. Yeah.
Right.
What a
we're
year.
We're done. What a year.
There
we go.
Oh, yes.
For the final part of this podcast. That is it. We are done for the WTF1 podcast for another year.
Gosh.
What a run. What an emotional roller coaster we've had. We thought F1 was done. What are you typing?
We cried. We
what are you typing?
He's nothing. Not.
What are you doing? What are you about
just
to play?
Just carry on. He's okay. setting something
on.
Up.
It's meant okay. to be...
Sorry. Well, you just looked like you were busy. But yeah, what an amazing year. It's been absolutely awesome to chat about it with both Jess and Tommy and talk about every single race. You know, F1 fans through and through, chatting crap. And you guys have been on the journey the entire way. So we do appreciate it. We see a lot of you guys, especially at races and whatnot. And for some reason, the podcast is a thing you always say about, which is... madness, isn't it? You know, so you know, we will continue to do this as long as you guys will listen, so
please keep listening.
In the meantime, we will be coming back next year with some more like video podcasts, chatting crap, maybe some AMAs or whatever, but in the meantime we do have that time when
which we do have that time when, which will be continuing
in
to
the
go
meantime
out.
So make sure you stay tuned for that one.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
That'll be on the audio platforms. That'll be in the link in the description below. So you go and check that out if you've never heard of That Time When. And I guess I'm going to throw it to Tommy now for whatever you've got ready.
No, I just
going to play us out.
You're going to play us out. Yeah. Okay, well, that is it. Thank you so much again for listening, watching, giving us 5-star ratings. It has been an amazing adventure, as I say. We love what we do. Tommy loves playing terrible music. And we hope you have an amazing Christmas, an amazing New Year. Spend some... wonderful time with your families. Don't watch WTF on YouTube videos over the course of Christmas Day, but then we'll allow it for the other 364 days. Okay, during lunch. No, not during lunch. After lunch. When everyone's kind of, you know, like Boxing Day. Maybe
where,
Boxing Day.
Where are you going with this, Matt?
I don't know. I'm just trying to fill this entire song. Tommy, Jess, say a last word for each about how much you've enjoyed working with me.
Thank you, everyone. It's been wonderful.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's been great.
And Jess?
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Perfect. It's been a blast. Thank you so much for listening, watching. Goodbye. Take care. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
It's
a good time to end. And now fade. Beefy, bassy, bob, real, beefy, beefy, bassy, bob, real.
I feel like I want to listen to more of that. Yeah, where was that going? Oh, you did. Okay, enough of that now.